Hey everyone, I'm Stephanie.
And I'm Jeremy.
Writers at RVFTA.com.
And the authors of The Idiot's Guide to RV Vacations.
About 10 years ago, we had a couple of babies and a marriage that was on the rocks.
So we bought an RV and we started camping. The rest, as they say, is history.
Join us as we talk about where to camp, what gear to bring, and the best food to cook.
We'll also keep you dialed in to the latest RV innovations from people in the know.
So pull up a chair and join us around the digital campfire.
This is the RV Atlas. Hello, everybody, and welcome to today's episode of the RV Atlas, which just happens to be episode 5 of a 6-episode miniseries all about Glacier National Park. I'm not going to run through what the previous 4 episodes were at this point because Stephanie will roll her eyes at me because...
just takes too long.
TMI. But this is episode 5. We're going to review the West Glacier KOA, which I really think is one of the best campgrounds in America. And apparently everyone else thinks so too, because when I posted pictures of it on Instagram, everyone flipped out. I put up a picture that got like 1,800 likes on Instagram. So we're going to give you a full review of this campground. But before we do that, we need to thank our friends and our sponsors over at Thetford.
Thetford is the industry expert and innovation leader, and they've been making RV travel a more pleasant experience for over 50 years. To see a complete line of products, visit Thetford.com.
Now, at the end of the last episode, I said that it was one of our favorite campgrounds in America, and you corrected me because I was speaking for you, which I should never do, and you said that you think it's the most beautiful campground in America, not necessarily your favorite campground in America. So let's start by talking about just like how ridiculously beautiful this campground is.
Yeah, it looks like it's out of a movie to me. It looked like it was a staged movie campground. It was so remarkably beautiful. And it wasn't just the scenery, right? We talked about it, the St. Mary KOA, like it was beautiful. You looked around and you could see the mountains. Here, this was like every single flower bed was just overflowing with bursts of color and amazing flowers, amazing immaculate landscaping. Every site had this amazing landscaping in between for privacy. And I was reading on their website, the owners, the woman, she's a landscape design.
That makes all the sense in the world.
So apparently, like, I just was like this little blurb about the owners, and it said that at the bottom. And I was like, okay, so this explains why I have literally never seen a campground this beautiful
in
my life.
I want to emphasize something that you said very quickly. It's not just the common areas of the campground that are beautifully landscaped. It's like every single RV site. I mean, it's not like there's just like 5 really nice landscaped RV sites. There's like dozens of gorgeous pull-through sites that have their own landscaping.
Yeah, I couldn't get over it. My mom worked in greenhouses for years, like a decade when I was younger. And my sister actually went to landscape architecture school in college. And so I am highly aware of landscape design, but I'm also highly aware of how much plants cost, because obviously as my mom working in greenhouses was an obsessive plant hoarder, I know what plants cost. That was what freaked me out so much about this place. I was looking around and I was like, this is like millions of dollars of plants. I was like, I could not believe.
Well, and it's not a cheap campground.
It blew me away.
And I think that's one of the reasons it's not a cheap campground, because it has all these resort features. It's beautiful with the landscaping. Also, they have a short season to make money in Glacier. So you're going to pay premium prices to be at a premium campground.
The cabins were also beautiful. Like, it wasn't just the flowers, just the landscaping. They were like out of this little cabin movie.
They weren't the standard cabin you see at other KOAs. They were like their own unique, beautiful cabins with like this gorgeous magic fairy garden landscaping in front of each cabin.
And they had like the umbrellas that were bright red, you know, these like nice bright red umbrellas that really popped against the greenery in the background at all these tables everywhere that you could sit and enjoy a cup of coffee. So it was a feast for your eyes. I'm the like, whole time you're at this campground, you felt spoiled.
I'm like sighing right now with just this like longing to go back. Now, the location's also really, really good. So it's going to put you like a 10-minute drive to the west entrance of Glacier, about 10 to 15 minutes from the Apgar Visitor Center. So you have really good proximity to the park here. The St. Mary East Glacier KOA is even closer to the park entrance, but this is still so close. It's really good.
Right. So the Apgar Visitor Center is sort of like the transportation hub of the west side. They also have ranger programs there that run all day long, like almost on the hour. They have such a jam-packed schedule there. At that place, you can get the shuttles for the rest of the park. You can also catch a city bus there at Apgar Visitor Center to Kalispell or Whitefish. Like, there was the city bus area. And then that was where you picked up the red bus tour if you were going to take a red bus tour from the west side. Now, I'll mention here, since people are listening to this, we did take a red bus tour on the west side too. You can hear more about that on tomorrow's episode. However, I like the east side red bus tour better, and I like the fact that I got picked up at the campground better. So
that wasn't really nice.
That would be my preference if you're trying to figure that out.
Right. And you're, like, as Stephanie mentioned, you're close to Whitefish as well, to go into Whitefish. And the Kalispell Airport, it's like 40 minutes away.
40 minutes about, like, yeah. That. So it was a very convenient location for being on the west side.
All right. Now, as we mentioned, the RV sites are beautiful. There's also a nice variety, and this is a big rig-friendly park. So there's back-ins if you want to back-in. There's amazing pull-throughs if you want to pull through. There's also tent camping, and there was like legitimately nice tent camping sites here for somebody who wants to camp in a tent.
The tent sites had a lot of privacy to them, which I really appreciated. Lots of trees surrounding it, so you didn't feel like you were pitching a tent in the middle of a sea of RVs, which I think that is something that our tent campers are always, you know, a little like sensitive about. I liked the pull-throughs. If you're going to look at the campground map, you can go to our show notes. I always include the campground map in our campground reviews. So the pull-throughs from 172 to 213, they're the ones that were featured in that Instagram photo that Jeremy put up. They're the ones that have that stunning mountain view. So they're a little out in the open, but I liked that. I love seeing the mountains when I'm in Glacier, so I'd almost prefer that.
But privacy in between the sites because of some landscaping. So you get to look up and see the mountains, but you're not looking right at your neighbor's hookups the way they design these sites.
If you like more wooded sites, you can look in the 50s, 60s, and 70s on that map, and you'll see that those were a little more wooded. Now, on the opposite side of the park from those pull-throughs that I like, it was perfectly pretty over there too. However, there's this run of power lines that kind of runs along the edge of the campground over there. I think that if I had been staying on that side of the campground, I would have been a little sensitive about that.
Particularly once you walk over to the other side,
I
you're
think
like,
I would
oh
have been like,
gosh.
I don't want to look at power lines. I want to look at the beautiful mountains.
That section of pull-throughs you mentioned, I can't picture any campground in America that beats those particular sites.
Yeah.
Now, as we mentioned, we loved our cabin. Our cabin was like so adorable. It looked like something that should have been at in like a tiny house magazine or TV show. Gorgeous landscaping in front of it. It was really well stocked. It had everything we needed. I'm just wanting to go back there right now.
The bedding on it was really unique.
So
it was like quilts instead of just regular comforters. So it just kind of felt like very unique and special. The furniture was comfortable, which is always something that we pay attention to in cabins. It's not always the case. The really spacious patios outside with a fire pit, complimentary firewood that they stacked for you by the fire pit.
And there
pit.
Was seating down there around the fire pit, and there's a grill there as well. I did wish that they had seating up on the porch. Because you had a nice porch to the cabin, but there was nowhere to sit on it, if I'm remembering correctly. Can you back me up on
that? Yeah, I don't think that there was. Now, the cabins, the deluxe cabins, were not cheap. Okay, at about $375 a night, this was competitively priced with the National Park lodge rooms that we priced out and also renting an RV. So they were all about the same price. And we went with the cabin for convenience sake because these had all linens, towels. We wouldn't have to worry about any kitchen items. It was just an easy way to go.
Also remember that on one of the previous podcasts, we mentioned that in the National Park Lodges, we could not get a family-sized room. They were all sold out. And they told us we would have to rent two rooms. for our family of five. Renting two rooms for our family of five would have cost a lot more than $375.
But we also
per night.
Wouldn't have gotten the campground amenities. And that's always something we factor into the value. Whenever we're comparing the cost of, like, an Airbnb rental or a hotel, we always look at the fact that the cost of that cabin at a campground includes all the campground amenities, which are the most well suited way for our family to travel.
And we're going
to
dive into the amenities because there were great amenities at this campground. But you also wanted to mention that there are more affordable cabin options if you're willing to forgo having, like, a kitchen and a bathroom. So it is possible to get a basic camping cabin there for like $100 to $120 per night.
Yeah, they have 1 and 2 room camping cabins that average that price. They're not going to have a bathroom. They're not going to have a kitchen, but the bathhouses were really modern and clean here at this campground. So if you're willing to rough it a little bit, that would be a budget way to do the cabin option here.
Absolutely. Now we're going to dive into some of the amenities and some of the activities and the food that's offered here. But before we do so, we have a sponsored message from our friends at Thetford, the creators of the Thetford Titan Premium Sewer Hose Kit. And I prefer the one that's 20 feet long.
20 feet long is Jeremy's preference. All right. So if you are using one of these full hookup pull through sites at the West Glacier KOA, obviously you need an indestructible sewer hose. And Titan.
You want a good looking sewer hose. Glacier KOA, it's such a beautiful campground. You want your sewer hose to be good looking. And the Thetford Titan, that Titan green, I think it's the best looking sewer hose on the market.
Well, and it was also, it's, you're in Montana. You want it to be made in the USA, right? Doesn't Montana feel like you want that vibe?
Oh, yeah.
Everything's made in the USA in Montana. And
they don't allow imported goods into Montana.
So Jeremy's favorite is that 20-foot, and that has 2 10-foot hoses. So you can actually switch it in and out. Like if you're super close to the sewer hookup, you could just use the 10-foot.
You just let one of them rest.
Yeah, you know? give the other a break.
It's almost like you're getting a 10-foot sewer hose and a 20-foot sewer hose in one kit.
It's uncrushable, and it's made out of rugged TPE, so it prevents leaks. You've run over this. You've stepped on it. You've bent it.
I did run the truck over it once.
And nothing's ever happened. Well, no leaks? I mean,
they said it's unbreakable. So
it's unbreakable.
Uncrushable, rather.
Uncrushable, unbreakable. And the sewer adapters are ergonomic and easy to use, right? Like they have handles that extend off, so it's easier to get that twist.
The handle's really longer than on other sewer hose kits, so also you don't get the schmutz on your hand.
Gross.
Because it's longer. You wouldn't know anything about it.
I'm going to let you tell everybody about that.
Did you even know the Thetford Titan sewer hose was green?
I thought it was black, but...
Black and green.
Okay.
Stephanie doesn't go on that side of the RV.
I try to avoid it.
We stick to traditional gender roles with just a couple of things.
So the Titan Premium Sewer Kit is available wherever you get your RV products, or you can visit Thetford.com.
All right, let's talk about the Lazy Bear Cafe. It was so cute and charming and such a lovely place to grab a meal. We really particularly loved having breakfast at the Lazy Bear. The breakfast burritos were absolutely delicious. Pancakes, French toast, omelets, all really, really good. Also good Montana coffee. And I think even they had local teas there.
Yeah, lots of tea selection. Espresso, cappuccino. Like it was a full-on coffee bar. The boys got hot chocolate every single morning.
And it is
that was like their Montana treat.
It is cool in the morning, even in August, you know. So to go in and get a nice hot breakfast, it was really, really nice. Cute dining area inside. Now, at night, you can have dinner. There's an outside seating area where you can grab dinner. I think they actually close the inside area down for dinner.
I think so. Yeah, and there's actually just a guy out there grilling. That's dinner. So I think they actually call it, like, his name's like Gary or something. Who knows? But online, it's like Gary's Grill.
Gary's Grill. They do ribs. They do steak. They do fish. There's a handful of options.
It was like 3 different dinner options every day.
And everything was solid. Like breakfast was special and breakfast was like wonderful and perfect. Dinner was solid.
Well, it was more like, okay, you pick your grill item and then you want a side of corn. Do you want a side of baked potato? You know, it was a little more simple, a little more like.
They also, I have to remind everybody, they had the Huckleberry Bear's Claws for breakfast.
Yes, they had pastries. Yeah, really delicious pastries in the espresso bar also. So that was a nice option. If you just want to grab and go, you don't have to sit to have a full dinner.
Now, separately breakfast. From the Lazy Bear Cafe, they have a separate ice cream shop. And the ice cream was really, really good, particularly the Huckleberry ice cream, which is the thing to get if you're visiting Glacier. They had awesome Huckleberry ice cream.
Yeah, and so not overpriced. Like $2 or something for a single scoop. And they were open till like what, 9:30 at night. So it was nice because you could go over at the end of a long day.
They're open till 10.
It was open late, yeah. So it was kind of a nice way to cap off the like a long day.
You know what's cool about this campground, which is kind of a little bit different than, you know, campgrounds on the East Coast or KOAs we've visited before. Everyone's like really active at night there. Now, I'm not saying partying or loud or anything, but I think that people are kind of have been gone all day hiking and everything. So at 9 o'clock at night, kids are in the pool. And
yeah.
It was nice. Well, and kids are playing basketball and it's still light out to some degree.
Speaking of the pools, so that's the next thing on our list that we have to talk about here, because there's both multiple pools and multiple hot tubs, but one of the pools is the family pool. It's called that. And then what they do at night is they actually put on the lights and it's like colored lights.
It's like beautiful.
So it really is special for the kids. They're sitting there swimming in the dark, but all the lights are on in the pool. So it'll be like magenta and purple or whatever. And the lights would change. So that was like a kind of unique and special experience.
What was also unique and special was they had an adults only pool and two small hot tubs for adults only.
Yes.
That drives our kids bonkers in a way that we don't mind.
Yeah, so we were enjoying the adult hot tub and our kids were losing their minds. Even though actually they were perfectly happy playing over at the Gaga ball pit, it just like sticks in their craw that we're in the hot tub and they're not.
They played every night to like bedtime and there was constantly a basketball game going on because it's like a legitimate half court basketball court. Really nice Gaga ball pit, lots of kids there, and the kids just kind of did their thing and had a lot of fun over in that area.
Yeah, there was always something going on there, and it was actually difficult for us because our kids personally would rather play Gaga ball than head off to a hike in Glacier National Park on most days of the week. So in the morning, all of the kids were there in that area, and we would be like, we would say to the boys, come on, let's go, we're gonna go here. And we were like, guys, all those other kids are going to leave the campground too. Like, even though it feels like you're getting taken away, they're all, everybody's going to be gone in an hour.
You just made me think of something I think really important here too, because we have been also talking about the national park lodges as options. They're not filled with kids and families.
No.
You know, the KOAs on both sides of the park, like our boys, they were so good for our boys, because if they're hiking all day, it is really nice for them to just be able to hang out and play a game of basketball at night. And that is not something that's going to happen at one of the NPS lodges.
No. And I said in the East Glacier, the St. Mary KOA, I said, you know, after our kids just really love a pool. Now, they're old enough that it's like, look, they're fine if we don't have a pool. It's not like we only stay at campgrounds with pools in them. But they love it's like their way of decompressing. Like, I remember at Rafter J in South Dakota, we had some freezing weather. Like, the temperatures had dipped. It didn't matter. At the end of the day, they wanted to be in that pool so badly. And that's the way they end a day.
Just mentioning Rafter J in this review is so interesting to me, because the West Glacier KOA and Rafter J in the Black Hills of South Dakota, both top five campgrounds.
Yeah, because they're amazing campgrounds, 100%. Well, like, and you can't debate it.
We can bribe our kids to do almost any hike if there is the promise of a swim in the pool, Gaga ball, and ice cream when we get back to the campground.
Yeah, so I mean, I think it's important for us to remember, like you said, like the lodges, and I say that to the kids when they're like, oh my gosh, we want to stay here. They wanted to stay at what, the Lake McDonald Lodge?
They really like that lodge because I think they like the chess and the checkers. And
I said to them, you know, there's no pool here. Like, there's no basketball court here.
The lodges reminded them of Disney World.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Because
that Fort Wilderness feel, that Wilderness Lodge feel, which is, of course, inspired by these type of lodges.
Yeah. Now, the last thing we want to mention that's great about this campground is truly a special offering. There are on-site rental cars. Now, one of the tricky parts that we've been talking about deciding how you're going to visit Glacier, is that if you decide to rent an RV, if you're renting a motorhome, you're in a tricky spot, because you probably won't have a towed, a dinghy, whatever you want to call it, to explore the park in. So you are going to be at the mercy of the shuttles. Well, they have rental cars on site for you at the West Glacier KOA. So I can't think of a better thing to do than rent an RV right from the Kalispell Airport, okay? You get in that RV, you go to the West Glacier KOA, which is 40 minutes away. You park that sucker and you rent a car to explore the park for the week. I think that that would be a phenomenal way to do it.
It really would. And I mean, we've been stressing this throughout this 6-part miniseries. It ain't nothing cheap about Glacier. I mean, it's no. But it's like going to the Swiss Alps. It's like a bucket list destination.
Oh, sure.
And one way that we saved money on this trip, and I have to give Stephanie all the credit in the world, when we first decided we were going to Montana and Glacier National Park, I was pushing for a 2-week trip. Stephanie was like, no, we're not going for 2 weeks. We're going to go for 8 days. We don't have the time to do it with our work schedules. The price is going to balloon.
Yeah.
And we're going to be exhausted because we want to do serious hiking.
Yeah.
8 days was actually perfect. Mm-hmm. We were all tired and wanted to go home after 8 days because we hiked like 27 miles as a family over those 8 days.
Yeah. And I actually put on our podcast schedule for the near future, a episode on budgeting for RV travel. I do want to talk about that because I think it's important. You know, some people, I think that you can get caught up in not doing things with different price tags when you're a camper or you're a RVer. We kind of do it differently. We look at a holistic amount of money to spend for the year. And I think we can kind of share some of the things like that because I think it that balance of state parks or the resorts helps us kind of feel like we can do these things. And we can have like, to me, I always say, I want to have a regular family vacation that somebody who doesn't have an RV would have. Like, why should I always think that my vacation should be cheaper?
And we actually saved up for this trip. Like, we decided a year ago we were doing Glacier National Park, and we put money in an account for this trip.
Right. Like that. And that's what I think. We should just do an episode on different strategies for kind of – I think RV travel can be difficult to budget for with the way you make reservations and the way – you know. So I think that we'll just do an episode on that and maybe talk about some of those strategies that have worked for us because we do travel so much.
All right. There's one more episode coming up in this 6-part miniseries on Glacier National Park, and that's going to be the last one, and it's going to be 10 things to do on the west side of Glacier National Park, and those are all the things you're going to want to do when you're staying at this West Glacier KOA. Stephanie, I want to go back to Glacier.
I had to drag you to Glacier, and now you're like, you're trying to go back next summer. No, we already have planned
next
where
summer,
we're going next.
Stephanie's looking at like Utah, Grand Canyon, and I'm like, wait a second, I want to hike to Iceberg Lake.
Yeah.
I mean,
you always do that. You were trying to plan a trip back to Michigan the summer after we went to Sleeping Bear Dunes. You always do that. And I just had enough to
Glacier's in a category of its own.
My two oldest boys turned 10 this year. And there is something that happens when your kids go into the double digits and you feel the countdown clock hit. I really think that happens to people. Like when your kids turn 10 and you're like 8 more summers, what?
Stephanie's like we got to do the Grand Canyon.
Right.
We got to do Utah.
So my big list kicked in, right? Like we were doing places like that were closer for many years while they were little and it was perfect. But they got kicked into older kid mode and now my bucket list trips that I want to take with them before they leave for college, we are on a schedule.
But you know what? I like this thing in you because like you said, 2 years ago, you didn't feel that sense of urgency to get to all these like major destinations.
I wasn't ready to do it with honestly, them. They were still too little.
Stick with the RV Atlas podcast because we're going to knock out all of these major trips over the next 6 or 7 years.
We're on it. We got to get them places before they go off to college.
And next summer is definitely going to be a fly and rent a motorhome.
It's already kind of.
I mean, of course, we're going to be doing.
It's loosely planned out, yes.
Of course, we're going to be doing trips in our brand new RV, which is supposed to arrive any day now. But next summer, we've decided we're flying out west, renting a motorhome.
Yeah, well, everybody that listens, I think, has kind of figured out that we do this sort of like pattern of travel where we do our more local trips, our week-long like beach family vacation, that kind of a thing throughout the year. But then we do this one big, like maybe 2-week bucket list adventure every summer. And a couple years ago, that started to involve flying a lot of places because I will not spend more than 2 straight days in the car with my kids ever.
And
the
I'm
end.
Not waiting for retirement to get to some of these places out west. I'm just not going
to
do it.
So we've been to the Pacific Northwest. We've been to South Dakota.
We drove to South Dakota.
Yeah, but we drove without our RV. So we kind of blow through and we broke it up because we were working in Indiana. So I kind of have a reason why that didn't count. But and then we went to Glacier. So we've done 3 summers in a row.
Can we go book some campgrounds in Utah, please? We need to get on it.
I think they're already booked.
You started booking this trip, but
you
didn't finish the job.
All right, everybody. We'll see you at the campground.
We'll see you at the campground.
thanks, everyone, for listening to this episode of the RV Atlas. And a big thanks to the sponsors of this show, Jayco, Bass Pro Cabela's, Thetford, Go Power, and Go RVing. We appreciate their support in creating educational and inspirational RV content.
You can also find links to everything mentioned in this episode over at rvfta.com, plus hundreds of blog posts on everything from gear recommendations to our favorite camping recipes.
If you enjoy our show, please leave us a review wherever you listen, and make sure to get social with us on Facebook at The RV Atlas and on Instagram at Jeremy and Stephanie. Plus, we've got the friendliest campers around in our private Facebook group, so check it out.
Until next time, I'm Jeremy.
And I'm Stephanie.
And we'll see you at the campground.
See you at the campground.